In a card game, aces and eights are known throughout the West as a dead man's hand. There's a good reason for it. And this is the story of how the hand got its name.
Long fair gentlemen. An Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. In just 1 minute, we'll bring you this latest report from the Frontier Gentlemen. This is James Matthews with official results on the automobile competition the whole industry watches every year, the famous Mobile Gas Economy Run. This year's run, 1,883 miles from Los Angeles to Galveston, Texas, ranging from sea level through mountain passes. And once again, Chrysler Corporation cars took the lion's share of first. Plymouth, Chrysler, and Imperial again this year for the second straight year, winning first place over all other cars in their class in the famous economy run. Imperial, by the way, was sweepstakes winner too, getting 62.7188 ton miles per gallon. The forward look is a lot more than look. You get a better engine, brownier brakes, portion air ride at no extra cost, and winning performance and economy in cars of the forward look from Chrysler Corporation. Take a drive this week in a car of the forward look. Plymouth, Dodge, DeSoto, Chrysler, or the triumphant Imperial. Drive one of America's performance winners from Chrysler Corporation. Now starring John Daner. This is the story of J.D. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
I left Fort Benton, Montana Territory, in a little river steamer called the Pride of the West. The journey downstream in the Missouri was a good deal faster than that which I had made coming up from St. Louis just a few months earlier. I decided to write some articles for the London Times on river travel in the American West, but the balmy weather, coupled with a feeling of complete indolence, made me put off all thought of work. Several days passed, and then we docked at Fort Pierre in Dakota Territory. I went ashore to purchase a new pair of boots, and it was in the store of an outfitter named Judd Scott that I first heard the name of Deadwood. Well, the left one might be a bit tight.
Yes, right
here. In the heel.
Oh, she'll ease up, mister. Of course, I don't do much trade in ready-mades. If you had more time, I'd make you a real fine pair. Finest in Dakota Territory. Here, let me take it off. Try to work it out. So you're a newspaper correspondent, huh? Well, we've had them come through, but none from England. Must be pretty interesting, your line of work.
Yes, it is. Quite.
Yeah, too bad you ain't staying around these parts. Your folks back home would get a pleasure out of reading about things we got around here.
You mean in Port Pierre?
Well, there ain't too much going on here. I guess you could write about Jack McCall, though. Yeah, try it. Oh, now it should be better.
Jack McCall, huh?
Used to drive a stage between here and Deadwood. Got some tall yarns to spin about Indians and the like. Go ahead. Take a walk now.
Yes, I'd like to meet him.
He's back in Deadwood now. Is that better?
Just fine. Where is Deadwood?
You mean you ain't heard of it? Ooh, worst bunch of cutthroats and outlaws living in all the territories, and the United States is in Deadwood. They even got Wild Bill Hickok out there. I hear tell there's folks want to put him up for marshal.
Hickok? Yes, I've heard of him.
Yeah, it won't take Wild Bill long to clean up, I can tell you.
Mm. Deadwood, huh?
Oh, you taking the boots?
I'm taking them. I sold the remainder of my ticket to a man booking passage for St. Louis. And the next day took the stage from Fort Pierre to Deadwood in the Black Hills of Dakota Territory. At the stagecoach station in Deadwood, I inquired after Jack McCall, and was directed to Carl Mann's saloon. Even though it was Sunday, I was surprised to see that the place was practically empty. A hatchet-faced woman dressed in black was drinking alone at the bar, and I found McCall, a broken-nosed, sullen-looking man, sitting at a table playing a game of solitaire.
Yeah, that's me. Who's asking to know?
J.B. Kendall.
What's your business, J.B. Kendall?
Well, a gentleman in Portier mentioned your name. He runs the general store.
Judge Scott?
Yes, that's right.
How come you want to talk with me?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm a newspaper correspondent, and I thought there might be a story to write about Deadwood, and your friend suggested that I get in touch with you.
What kind of story are you thinking about?
I understand that Wild Bill Hickok is in town. Do you know him?
Why don't you ask her?
Hmm?
Or at the bar. Calamity Jane. Figures she knows him better than most.
Oh. Well, thank you, I will. Perhaps I can buy you a drink after.
Suit yourself. I ain't going nowhere.
Miss Jane?
You talking to me? Name's Calamity. Ain't no miss in it. Calamity Jane.
I'm sorry. I'm J.B. Kendall. The gentleman over there mentioned that you were a good friend of Wild Bill Hickok.
Who? Why, that ain't no gentleman. That's a stinking pig by the name of Jack McCall. You've been sitting with him. Don't foul up the air around me. Hit the trail, mister.
Well, I was hoping you could introduce me to Mr. Hickok.
Hey, you English?
Yes.
Thought so. Knew an English fella down in Aberdeen. Wouldn't quit riding herd on me. Had to shoot him.
Oh.
New in town, ain't you?
Just arrived.
You ain't friend of McCall?
Oh, I only met him a few minutes ago.
What brings you?
I'm a writer. Newspaper articles for the London Times.
Hey. I guess you heard about me and Wild Bill, huh?
Oh, yes.
Fastest man with a gun you'll ever see. I ain't too bad myself, but I ain't nothing to Wild Bill. Come on over to the table, bring the bottle, and I'll tell you about me and Wild Bill.
Calamity Jane was a strange, almost masculine-looking woman, hard and rough-voiced. She told me of her exploits as a scout with General Crook's army in the war against the Sioux, but most of the time she spoke of Hickok. About a half an hour had passed when I noticed Jack McCall get up from his table and come toward us.
Yes, sir. What Wild Bill done in Abilene, there ain't another man good a handle. Why,
yeah, mister, I thought you was going to buy me a drink.
Oh, not just now, Mr. McCall. I'm talking to the lady.
Oh, yeah, I see. It's mostly listening. Ain't nobody gets to talk much around her.
McCall, you want me to put your eyeballs out of this bottle? You open that barn door of yours just once more.
General, you come on down to Blue Hill Saloon when you're through. I'll tell you the truth about that female polecat there in a windy day.
One of these days, near a Wild Bill's gonna pump that coyote full of lead. Except he ain't worth wasting a ball on.
And all I know about him is that he used to drive the stage between here and Fort Pierre.
Yeah, lost that job because he couldn't hold his liquor. Used to be a buffalo hunter till the feller he worked for caught him stealing hide. He ain't no good, that one, and his pals is worse. You ever run into Tim Brady or Johnny Barnes, you watch your step, mister. Them's two of the boys, along with McCall's Wild Bill's gonna run out of this town when he gets to be marshal.
Where is Wild Bill now?
He's up in the hills working on his claim. Him and his partner, Colorado Charlie. They ought to be back by tomorrow. He'd like to meet you, mister. Wild Bill always had a liking for you. What's your hurry? Sit down. We'll split another bottle.
Thank you, but now I think I'd better get settled. Wash some of this Dakota dust off.
What a dude. All right, go on up the hotel. Tell him Calamity Jane sent you, and if they don't give you the best room, I'll shoot up the place.
The recommendation was most effective. I got the best room in the hotel. 2 hours later, in spite of Calamity Jane's warning, I wandered down to the Boot Hill Saloon. I was curious about McCall and what he might have to say about Calamity and Wild Bill Hickok. I found him there, very drunk. He was talking to a heavy-set man who was chewing on an unlit cigar. McCall greeted me as an old friend.
Hey, what do you say, Colonel? You had enough of that female wind by then. Hey, Tim. Tim, this is the fellow I was telling you about. Colonel's his name.
How are you? Tim Brady.
I owe Mr. McCall a drink. I came down to settle my
debt. Oh, that's real fine of you, Colonel. Oh, Jim Kendall's come to Deadwood to write a story about Wild Bill Hickok, the new marshal of Deadwood.
You go get yourself a drink, McCall.
Sure.
Take a chair, Kendall.
New marshal of Deadwood.
I wouldn't pay no heed to what McCall says. Not when he gets too much whiskey in it.
Did he say something?
About Hickok being marshal.
Oh, well, it's not particularly news. I heard that in Port Pierre 5 days ago.
Well, don't you believe it.
Oh?
Fellas around here, they don't want his kind. You go writing in your paper or thing like that, you're going to have to turn right around and write that it ain't true.
He's not going to get the job?
No. I tell you, he does a lot of ear greasing, like that crowbait mare, Calamity Jane. But all them things you hear, just a lot of brag. Hickok never plugged a man less than the fellow's back was turned. I was down to Abilene when he dragged Gulch Bill Cole. This is the worst thing you ever seen. Shot him in the back. Then by mistake, he goes and killed his own pal, Mike Williams. Oh, sir, Deadwood ain't going to pull up a man like that for Marshall. You think so?
Well, I don't know. I suppose it depends on how many want him.
Oh, well, there's a lot of them miners up the hills. They're the ones.
Figure.
And heard all them crazy stories about it. You want to know what I think?
Might be very interesting.
I don't think he'd last 2 minutes as marshal before somebody shot the daylights out of him. Yes, your best thing for Hickok to do is get out of Deadwood and stay out. You see him, you tell him that.
The next night, Calamity Jane introduced me to Wild Bill Hickok. He looked older, more tired than I'd imagined him. As we sat in his room, I noticed that he blinked his eyes, rubbed them, and seemed quite nervous. Constantly glanced toward the door. Calamity had gone out to buy some food.
Me and Colorado Charlie had a rough week up in the hills. Feels kind of good to get back. You ever done any mining, Kendall?
No.
Well, you ever had the idea to get somebody else to do the work for you? Well, what do you think of Deadwood?
Oh, I haven't been here very long.
Ain't much like London, I'll bet.
No, it isn't.
Well, do a little cleaning up like I did in Hayes City and Abilene. We'll have a right nice little town.
When do you expect to begin as marshal?
Any day now, the boys are getting things moving.
I saw a man yesterday, Tim Brady.
Brady?
And he asked me to give you a message.
Huh?
The best thing for Hickok to do is to get out of Deadwood and stay out.
Well, that's what he said, huh?
Yes.
You know why? They're afraid of me. They know what's going to happen after I get sworn in. I run them out, and if they don't run, we have a showdown. Brady and his pal Barnes ain't got stomach for that.
I gather they're the somewhat unsavory element in Deadwood, isn't it?
Mister, you ain't just milking pigeons. Why, them miners up in the hills would be dead ducks for Brady and his gang if it weren't for me. This is the worst mining camp in the territory. Ain't been no law here since it started, and Brady don't want none. That's how some of the miners want me for marshal. Protection.
I'm surprised he hasn't tried to get rid of you before this.
Yeah, that Jay Hawker knows what had happened to him in a shoot-up. He'd like me to try him. Fellow like that get somebody else to do his dirty work.
Oh, it's only me, Bill. Look where you've gone.
I told you, Charlie, you ought to knock.
Keep forgetting.
This is J.B. Kendall. He's going to write a story about me for an English paper.
Yeah, I run into Calamity down at Carl's place, and she told me. Nice to meet you, Kendall.
And you, sir.
My old pal, Charlie Utter.
Colorado Charlie's good enough.
Kendall's been talking to Brady.
Oh, that's so? Rest your saddle, Bill. You make me tired standing.
Brady said I ought to get out of town.
Oh, he'd like that fine.
Yeah, he'd like that. Well, I guess I'll go and wash up before Calamity gets back. You staying around, Charlie?
Yeah, I thought maybe we'd get down to Carl's later and play some cards.
All right. I'll be right back.
Sure. mine, there's Wild Bill. He ain't usually like this.
He seems to have trouble with his eyes.
Oh, you noticed him. I wouldn't want you to say nothing in front of Bill, but he's been scared of going blind. Yeah, things sure don't seem like the old days. Oh, I gotta get these boots off. He's killing me.
How old is he?
Wild Bill? Let me see. 39. Of course, to hear him talk, you think he's closer to 60. I sure do fret over him sometimes. Always talking about dying, this and that. Ain't like the old days. He sure was a rip snorter. Oh, well, maybe when he gets to be marshal again, everything will be like it always was.
Calamity Jane came in with the food, and behind her, Bill Hickok. It was a strange supper. Both Colorado Charlie and Calamity kept up a stream of conversation, anecdotes singing the praise of Hickok's past accomplishments, but the atmosphere was strained. The man with the long hair didn't say very much. Afterwards, Charlie Utter invited me to accompany them to the saloon. I noticed that Hickok was reluctant. Possibly he had a feeling, a warning of what was to come. It was 8 o'clock when we arrived at Carl Mann's saloon and sat down at the card table.
Charlie, change seat with me. I ain't tipping my back to the door.
Wow, Bill, you're getting worse than a old woman.
Well, maybe so, but that's the way it is. I like to see what's coming in.
Oh, here. Yeah, take my place if you like.
No, sir. All he wants is a catbird seat. That's how come he's always winning. You ain't moving, Bill.
You've got the right idea, Charlie. Well, Bill, you've got your seat, and that's the way it's going to be. Carl! Bring us a bottle of whiskey and a deck of cards. Marshal Hickok's going to be the big loser tonight.
After a few minutes, we were joined by a miner, and the five of us played. It was a friendly game, and we could see Hickok beginning to relax. He was a good player, and held more than his share of winning hands. But while the game went on, there was something happening down the street in the Boot Hill Saloon. We didn't know it then, but after it was too late, we heard what had taken place. Three men sat in the back room, one of them drinking heavily. This was Jack McCall. The other two were Tim Brady and Johnny Barnes, the leaders of the Tufts in Deadwood.
Well, I'm telling you, Jack, you'll be a big man. Well, they'll look at you when you walk down the street. They'll say, there goes Jack McCall. He killed Wild Bill Hickok.
Now, you hear what Johnny says?
Yeah, I hear. Give me another drink, man.
Sure.
He's in Carl's place right now. You could get him easy.
Oh, might not be so easy.
Well, you ain't afraid, are you, Jack?
No, I ain't afraid.
No.
No. I ain't afraid, but it just won't be so easy.
Of course, we could get somebody else to do it. We just figured, Tim and me, we figured you was the man for the job.
Look, I ain't saying I won't
do
it.
You know what I do, Johnny.
What?
We could maybe get that newspaper fellow, you know, Kendall, to write something about Jack in his paper. How'd you like to see that boy in an English paper? Jack McCall shoots down Wild Bill Hickok.
Yeah,
you could go on the stage all over with that.
Sure.
Yeah. Right down the street, Jack. Yeah, I've seen him myself. You know what? He's sitting with his back to the door.
Now, you listen. Just listen. How come if you was there, you didn't plug him yourself?
Yeah, ain't no use, Johnny. He'd all understand. All right.
No, no, wait a minute. I'm just asking, that's all. Now, just tell me how come.
Because Calamity Jane and Colorado Charlie is with him. If they saw me, they'd know something was wrong. But not you, Jack. They wouldn't figure you drawing on Hickok.
Yeah. That makes sense. That's all I wanted to know is why.
All right. What do you say, Jack?
Sure, why not?
Sure. Give him a gun, Johnny. And don't you miss, boy, you hear?
Three kings.
He beat
you,
Wild Bill.
I'm a son of a gun if he hasn't. I had you pegged for no more than two pairs.
Kendall ain't the best player, see. He'd be sure a lucky one. I'll deal him out, Clowney.
All right.
No feller once in Hayes City drew two cards to a royal. Luckiest thing I ever seen.
It's a loco thing for a man to do.
Sure was. Took one look at his hand and keeled over plumb dead.
No, I had a hand something like that. I won a Chinese girl with it a few weeks ago in Deer Lodge.
Chinese?
I did.
No kidding.
Sure.
What did you do with her?
Well, I gave her to a man I knew. He married her.
Open for a dollar.
Wait. Yes, I'm staying.
Stay? Me too.
I ain't proud. There. Cards?
Three.
Kendall?
Two, please.
Give me one. Here's a man's gonna drop dead if he pulls it right.
How's about you, Charlie?
Two.
Dealer, take three.
Honest woman.
That's one thing I ain't and I never hope to be. You're a bet, Wild Bill.
Well, I'll tell you, friend, I'm going to make this rough on you. $2.
All right. I call.
Not me. You and I ain't dropping dead, either.
Well, I'll see you.
I'm a sucker. All right. What do you got, Wild Bill?
Prettiest two pair you ever seen. Aces and eights.
Wild Bill Hickok slumped forward on the table. He still had the winning smile on his face, and the cards crumpled in his tightening fist. It was Calamity Jane who found Jack McCall. He was hiding in a butcher shop nearby. Colorado Charlie and I dragged him away before she had a chance to use the meat cleaver she was holding. We found 6 cartridges in McCall's gun. The only one to fire was the first, the one that killed Hickok. The other 5 were defective. Before I left Deadwood, McCall was tried for murder. But Brady and Barnes must have chosen the jury themselves, because the final verdict was not guilty.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were John McIntyre, Jeanette Nolan, Jack Moyles, Larry Dobkin, Stacey Harris, and Dick Perrin. Music was composed and conducted by Amerigo Marino. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. James Matthews speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.